Today's King of the Nerds finale podcast is sponsored by NatureBox. NatureBox ships great-tasting, wholesome snacks right to your door. Forget the vending machine. Start snacking smarter with wholesome, delicious treats like dark cocoa almonds. Support the podcast and order a free NatureBox sampler box at naturebox.com/RHAP. That's right. Free NatureBox snacks are found at naturebox.com/RHAP. Coming to you live from my apartment, which is really the name of the studio. It's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who does, in fact, know the correct spelling of the name of the counselor on the USS Enterprise NCC-1701 day, Rob Cesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to our King of the Nerds finale coverage. And I am here with two men who are, it's a bittersweet moment for them because it is the end of a King of the Nerds season, but it is the start of a reign of a very deserving King of the Nerds nerd, Dr. King of the Nerds. All right, here with us first is a man who always has first mover advantage, whether or not he's playing Connect Four, Mr. Brendan Noel.
Thanks as always for having me, and thanks for agreeing to start the show a little late tonight so I could finish entering my cat's weight in an Excel spreadsheet.
Yes, anytime. And then with us also is a man who can solve any nerd equation that you put him to. Here is Mr. Mark Solera. Mark, how are you?
I'm all right. Is this the part where I'm allowed to gloat at the fact that I called the winner of the show like week three?
Winner edit? Should I wait? Is this a fishback thing?
I honestly think we could talk about this later on, but I really think this might be our first actual winner's edit on the show.
Yeah, I do feel like that Jonathan did get a bit of a winner's edit. Also, he had like a lot of like bumpers like coming in and out of the show. Like, this is my game face.
Game face.
Right?
Yeah, I think usually, yeah, he was always the one you saw in those commercials.
Yeah. And he really was like a narrator for a lot of the season. So I feel like this was probably our first King of the Nerds winner where we really did have them, you know, getting a lot of airtime and also coming off like they could be the winner through most of the season, right?
Yeah, it's so strange because like Jonathan, you know, the edit of his game and everything that kind of built to that were basically all the reasons I thought that Xander was going to win last season, the clear narrator of that season. And it didn't happen. So I figured like, oh, I'm not buying into any of this. And then, yeah, basically from around like episode 5 or 6, it just kept building and building. And it was pretty clear, I think, that Jonathan was going to win.
Okay. Were you getting faked out at all during this finale episode?
I mean, there were parts of it because we've seen the show so many times that you almost want to like question the fact that, oh, this guy's getting a winner's edit. The last two times, the people who've gotten kind of the winner's edit, they've lost. So I started to look at Ben. I started to look at Lily. But I was overall pretty happy about it.
I definitely thought that there was a potential that Ben would end up winning, yeah, because they were trying to give him a little bit of an underdog story in that episode. So I wasn't entirely sure.
All right. So we have our third King of the Nerds winner, our first King of the Nerds winner. That is a man. Are you guys happy to see the glass ceiling broken for King of the Nerds winners, Brendan?
It's just nice that men are finally getting a break
equality.
In this. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, we push for equality for men's rights all the time. It's nice to see someone finally get a break who's a man on this show.
Finally.
Finally.
Let's talk some serious news here for a minute. We had a card at the end of the episode about the car accident that Robert Carradine got into. Mark, do you have any information about how Robert is doing at this time?
He is recovering as far as I last heard. And they just want the family just wants respect at this time and privacy, but he is doing well.
Okay. So they expect him to make a full recovery?
Yes.
Okay. There you go. So, I know such a real life news and, you know, we weren't really expecting that, but for those of you guys who don't know, Robert and his wife were in a big car accident, and there were like some pictures that got posted. It was like a really big deal.
Yeah, definitely a scary incident. It's something that we weren't expecting and not news we wanted to hear at all, and certainly not when we're that close to the finale and in trying to be in a celebratory mood. But yeah, from what I've heard, they are going to recover. They're going to be fine. And very good thing that they were wearing their seatbelts. Seatbelts, everyone.
Okay, very important.
Guys, wear your seatbelts.
Yes, okay. A very important lessons here on the King of the Nerds recap.
Yeah, you know, we're an educational podcast.
Yes.
Is that a category you're eligible for the podcast most, awards?
Most educational podcast. No, but that's a good reminder for people that podcast awards voting goes on through March 24th at podcastawards.com. So go ahead and cast your votes and help us be a king of the podcasts.
Absolutely. Go vote.
Why not? Okay. Now, Mark, you had an interesting finale experience this weekend from King of the Nerds. Could you tell everybody what was related to King of the Nerds that was interesting in your world?
Well, I normally spend Friday nights alone because I have a very, very sad social life, but I decided to go out on Friday night. And after just driving around and going through, like, wanting to go get dinner, I decided to stop by a Little Caesars, and when I went inside that Little Caesars, I bumped into Amanda.
Okay, hold on. So you randomly ran into Amanda?
Yeah.
From King of the Nerds at a Little Caesars?
Yeah, it was the weirdest thing because I figured it's finale night, it's King of the Nerds, I might as well go to Little Caesars. I was going to go to Waffle House, but I was just like, it's King of the Nerds. So I went to the Little Caesars. I ordered the bacon pizza thing. I turned to the right and there was Amanda.
I mean, I'm not Jonathan, but what are the chances of this happening mathematically?
Here's the thing, which is mind blowing to me. There is literally 3 minutes away another Little Caesars. So the odds that we both ended up at that Little Caesars, it was nuts.
Okay, so Amanda is from the greater Arizona area.
Yes, but she did move recently, so she is in your area, last I heard.
Okay, so she's moved to Los Angeles?
Yep.
Has she parlayed King of the Nerds into a greater career?
Brendan, do you have any insight into that?
I'm not sure what she's doing. I know that lots of people when they go on reality shows try to maybe get into acting, performing, but perhaps that's her ambition. One question I do have for you though, Mark, how was the bacon wrapped pizza? I need to know this.
It was hot and ready and it was very delicious.
Really?
Good, because the commercials make that look very enticing. I was not able to get to Little Caesars on finale night. And yeah, I want to give that a try.
Yeah, I've tried this on the, or I didn't try it. I talked about this on the Spicin podcast. We talked about when they announced the new bacon wrapped Little Caesars pizza. And now you get a whole one, or you can get slices at Little Caesars?
Oh, it was like a whole pizza, sort of a whole pizza. It's not like the circle, but it's like a square.
So you order a whole pizza?
Yeah, the thing is they were also having a going away party. So this is why it was mind-blowing that I bumped into her. That was the last day she was in Arizona. So wow. They had a going-away party at their hotel.
Yes.
And I just decided, you know what, I'm going to bring that there. I spent the next 2 hours of my night talking to Amanda and her friends.
Okay.
And her family. It was pretty good.
Yes. And so how were they about the finale?
The reaction, like they were still kind of about the fact that Amanda left the week before. Mm-hmm. But they were pretty happy.
Yeah. I feel like Amanda didn't get a ton of screen time in the finale. Ironically, I feel like it was Jacob that really made a big push for airtime in the finale. I mean, it's like this guy was on one episode and they gave him more screen time, I think, than anybody else.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, partially deservedly. I know that Taylor Cotter had sent me some thoughts on the finale and brought up, I think, a good point that I think we really were robbed of Jacob as a character for this season. I think that if the season needed somebody, it was more of a just kind of like average Joe kind of guy, like sort of like an Ivan from season one. So he was very funny. He had a couple like good lines. I thought I liked him talking about the quality of pens from later on in the challenge. That was funny. So yeah, it was nice to get to know him a little more after only a brief appearance at the start of the season.
Yeah, well, he certainly got his fill in the finale on a night where Jonathan ultimately is the winner of King of the Nerds season 3. So before we get into the recap, let me just give a quick shout out to our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. And those are our friends over at NatureBox. And because life is hectic. And so you don't turn to things like a bacon wrapped pizza for your snacks like Mark. Yeah, you can get a quick pick me up so you avoid being hungry and irritable by going to naturebox.com. and also saves you from having to go out in the car.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. You don't have to remember to put your seatbelt on because you get snacks sent right to your house. Over 100 nutritionist approved snacks come to you, and NatureBox has something for everyone, no matter what type of nerd you are, all with no artificial flavors, no artificial colors, no artificial sweeteners, no grams of trans fat, and no high fructose corn syrup. You'll even find snacks with great flavors without any artificial nonsense in them. So when you're hungry, do what I do. Grab some pistachio power clusters, your peanut butter nom noms, your dark cocoa almonds, and whatever you want, because you've got a chance to try some free NatureBox by going to naturebox.com/RHAP. You'll get a free trial box with five of the most popular snacks. You heard us. Free snacks. You know you're going to get a snack. So get smart about it with NatureBox. Go to naturebox.com/RHAP and get a free trial box of delicious snacks. And you don't have to be the king of the nerds to know that's a good idea.
No, it sounds great. I've chosen to swear my allegiance to NatureBox. I'm doing it in a way that's much less formal than usual.
Yes, yes, very good. Yes, I swear my allegiance to the dark cocoa almonds. I need NatureBox to send me some more because I'm out. All right, let's talk through the events of the finale. Of course, we had to have the teams or the individuals swear allegiance to one of the final four competitors. Mark, did you like the way they did this?
I really did like this because last season, the way that they did it, the people that were on the teams, they didn't necessarily have too much of a role. So here you could use these nerds as a lifeline. So I really did like the fact that this is how they used them.
Yeah, Brendan, we sort of tried to handicap this last week, and we definitely got some of these wrong.
Very wrong.
Very wrong.
Let's go down the list and talk about who ended up going with who. Jacob, he ends up swearing his allegiance to Jonathan. We don't really know anything about Jacob going into this episode, so no surprise there.
Yeah, that was as we got closer to the start of the season, it became tougher to call some of those people. So clearly Jonathan had friends in the house. He got half of the eliminated contestants to support him. That was pretty impressive.
Okay, Thomas ends up going for Jonathan again. Hard to predict what Thomas Vollum is going to do, but okay, we'll go with that. Ori goes with Caitlin. I think that we were pretty much on point for that, right?
Yeah, I think so. Caitlin did a very good job of making the sort of anti-Secret Six push and getting people on her side. I was a little surprised that Thomas didn't go for that, but no surprise that Ori went for Caitlin.
Yeah, that was the biggest surprise to me, honestly. The fact that, besides, maybe we're going to talk about this in a little bit, but Thomas and Todd were the two biggest ones that I was really surprised about.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about Todd in a second. But for Thomas, yeah. I feel like he looks at Jonathan as sort of like, I feel like Jonathan is like the rich man's Thomas.
I agree. That's a very good point. Jonathan is sort of like a Thomas 6.0.
Yeah, I feel like, Thomas looks at Jonathan like, that could be me.
Yeah, like that is the coolest person I've ever seen.
Yes, yes. He is the Smeagol to his Gollum, right?
That's a good way to put it. Yeah,
good reference. So,
yeah,
spot on.
All right, let's talk about Todd and maybe the shock of the night that Todd decides to go with the Cersei Lannister of King of the Nerds, and he goes to support Lily. Mark, your thoughts on this?
I feel like there was something in the editing room that we didn't get, because I feel like he had to have like still had some sort of animosity towards Lily for that. Like, I wonder if we had some sort of like, okay, Heather did something, or hey, Amanda helped push Todd towards Lily. But I feel like we're missing something here. I really do.
Okay. Brendan, can you fill in the blanks?
I don't know. I mean,
crossword puzzle.
Yes.
Yeah, like, can you
just say
shit is serious, a crossword puzzle. Yeah, I kind of agree in the sense that, like, if there would have been one more scene when everybody first came back in and we just saw, like, Todd and Lily have maybe, like, an awkward or kind of stilted interaction with each other, and maybe they kind of, like, set that up a little bit, it would have made more sense. not that his reasoning for, you know, I feel like I owe it to Lily to try and make amends, bury the hatchet, whatever, didn't make sense, or certainly wasn't, you know, a noble thing for him to do. But yeah, I think that that definitely surprised me.
So Colby ends up going with Caitlin. No surprise there that she was really compelling in the, hey, let's stick it to the man, stick it to the Secret Six pitch to Colby.
Yeah, no shock that he was one of the people who bought into that. He was clearly on the outs for those kind of middle weeks when he was sort of the only person left in the game who was not in the Secret Six, and definitely knew that he was on the outside looking in.
Now, Heather goes to support Jonathan. Not a big surprise, but was it a minor surprise that Amanda goes to support Lily instead of Jonathan? Did you guys talk about this, Mark?
We talked about this somewhat. She had a pretty good reason that I honestly forgot since the time we were talking about this. It was like 11, 12 midnight. But she, from what I remember, she had a pretty good reason that was cut out.
Does she get free Little Caesars?
No, I saw her pay.
Oh, man.
I know.
If I had to pay for it, I mean, I'm not sure if I would be going to Little Caesars. With all due respect to Little Caesars.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great, great organization with great food. But I mean, I feel like if I went on King of the Nerds, I should get some kind of like lifetime gold pass there.
The thing is, when this was all happening, when I met her, it was like 11. It was like 10:30, 11. So what can you go to? It's either McDonald's, Jack in the Box, or Little Caesars.
Okay, I guess so. So as far as Rachelle goes, she ends up supporting Jonathan as well. Not a major surprise.
No, I don't know. If there was somebody who I was going to think was going to swear allegiance to Lily, I would have picked Rachelle over Amanda. I thought that we had been set up pretty clearly that like there was a bond between Lily and Rachelle. We got the hearts when they were eliminated going up in the nerd off last week. I was a little surprised that Amanda went for Lily over Jonathan, and a little surprised that Rachelle went for Jonathan over Lily. I think Jonathan probably, yeah, would have been her second choice. I don't see her going for Caitlin, or, you know, poor Ben ended up with nobody on his team. That was sad.
Yeah, but ultimately it didn't really play that big of a factor. I mean, did anybody get more than 1 point from their lifelines?
I don't think so. And you're right that absolutely Ben got 5 points entirely on his own. So I'm not going to feel bad for him in the sense that like, oh, he didn't have help in the game because he clearly didn't need it. But just like as a human, you have to empathize with the fact that nobody went for him. And I'm a little surprised that like, I wonder if maybe they almost had to sort of lock in their picks before they went through sort of the formality of going outside and filming that whole scene. Because I don't know if I buy that, you know, of these people, they're nerds, they're talking about being outsiders, and they don't get picked when they're kids. I was a little surprised that nobody felt a little bad and wanted to support Ben, or because otherwise, I mean, we've known that Ben probably does not have the best reputation in the house. I think he's probably has a role kind of maybe like Cody from the last season of Big Brother, where he kind of gets dragged to the end, doesn't realize that he's not really the strategic mastermind. You. He thinks, he was clearly the what were they called? Their duo, the Hitmen.
Hitmen.
Yep. Ben does not have as many kills in the Hitmen as somebody like Jonathan does. So clearly this is another case where an editing gray area I would have liked to see more of is, did people really hate Ben that much that he got nobody to support him?
I honestly just feel sorry for the fact that there was Team Ben shirts that went unused.
That's, you know, it's going to be a very ironic thing that some underprivileged people are wearing. They'll have that and their 19-0 Patriots shirts.
Yep.
Yep. All right. For Ben, though, I mean, was it more that, you know, people from his alliance made it with him to the end? I mean, could you not say that his closest ally was Lily and she was also in the final four?
That's probably true that, yeah, certainly the earlier boots who we don't have any reason to think would swear allegiance to him did. Yeah, I think that's a good point. And also, I think that just out of all those people who were in the majority, everybody's got just a slightly closer friend to them than Ben. So in that aspect, I understand it. I just like, I don't know, that was a little hard to watch. Even if like Ben was a good sport about it, he was really funny in that confessional where the tumbleweed is rolling in the background. That was good. But just, I was just, you know, I was a little bummed for the guy. He seems like a perfectly decent guy.
Okay. So we ended up having the Nerd Bowl. Did you guys like the format for this? I have to say that the thing that was hosting the competition was pretty amazing. Like all the times they did like a challenge this season where you had like a cardboard box and duct tape, and all the times that they saved money this season, maybe this is what they were saving up the money for.
I think so. You could see all of the dollars being saved through the episodes to fund Nerd Prime.
That was amazing.
Possibly was amazing. The greatest character hosting thing, probably since last season when they did the robotics challenge and they had that giant robot come out and make fun of them all.
Better than OTEV?
I think better than OTEV.
Wow.
Maybe no Zingbot, but a good, yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. That thing was really cool. I thought that its Zing, speaking of the Zingbot, were not particularly strong.
No, not really. I mean, Colby was clearly I'm amused in making fun of the, you know, can you pinpoint where your social life went to die, Zinger, which, yeah, I think the Zingbot would have come up with something, even if not funnier. You know, the Zingbot's delivery is just always on point.
Now, were there any questions that were in there that surprised either one of you guys?
They surprised me only in the sense that, like, I'm not a super nerd who keeps up with, like, comic books. And there were certain things I just, like, I wouldn't have known. Things that were probably not considered, like, really difficult nerd questions. But nothing really stuck out to me as, like, oh, do we consider this to be kind of nerdy popular culture? I don't know if you guys have ones that stick out to you.
Not really. No.
How does Caitlin not know the third most prominent element in the sun being the NASA scientist that she is?
Yeah, I think that was probably an awkward day at work for her on Monday. Like, her boss maybe called her in and it's like, so I was watching King of the Nerds on Friday and I think we might have to do a little remedial training here.
I mean, to toss it to Ori. I mean, I feel like if you were even going to guess what the third is, I feel like oxygen is what you would guess. Yeah. Maybe you say oxygen, maybe carbon. I mean, it's not going to be like
beryllium.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how you get to beryllium other than just if Ori literally just knows the order of elements and thought, oh, this is worth a try. But as we saw from the confessional, you know, if Caitlin didn't know that, Ori certainly wasn't going to. So really, just she was torn because she'd already used up Colby for the question earlier. So
all right, so it ends up being with Ben moving on first, even though he didn't have anything with him, and then Jonathan is fighting for that last spot. He ultimately moves on to face off in the final Nerd Off. Is that, do I have that right? Is that the right terminology?
Yeah, I'd say that's basically what it is. It's the final Nerd Off. I think this season they gave it the more specific title of the 7 fiendishly insidious nerd games.
Yes, I liked that it was compared to the climactic scene in Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey by Colby.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
A most excellent final Nerd Off.
Yes. Where I believe Bill and Ted face off with the Grim Reaper in Battleship and other games.
Yeah, maybe Battleship would have been a good sort of children's game for them to play. Nothing against Kinect 4, but Battleship is also a fun choice.
Yes.
Season 4.
Yeah.
There you go, Season 4.
All right, so we end up having this big party where before it's Ben versus Jonathan. And this was crazy. This was like crazier than any party I've ever been to.
Yeah. Was this crazier than live Survivor Know-It-Alls on Wednesday night?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
At least for me. There were probably other people that had a crazier time.
Yeah. I don't know if I've ever been to a party where people were drinking shots out of test tubes. That's a little wild.
Yeah. I've seen people doing shots out of syringes, but not test tubes. and it was like all these women were getting down into like underoos.
Not just women, men.
Oh, and Jacob too.
Yep,
Jacob was in his underwear.
Wow.
Some tidy whitey action going on.
I'll say. And this was a wild night. Things were getting crazy. One thing was leading to another. And we had a little bit of a flirtation forming between Heather and Jacob. Now, we had this reset for us. It was Chekhov's 80-20, where we saw earlier in this season that Heather is 80% into women and 20% into guys. But there's something about Jacob that set off that 20%.
I think it might be the beard.
Was it the beard?
It's obviously the beard.
I think so.
I mean, that seems odd to me. And again, I have a very little understanding of human sexuality. I feel like if you were 80% into women, I feel like the 20% of the guys that you would be into wouldn't be a guy with a beard.
It's a fair point. You might tend to go more feminine. Again, Jacob is a little bit of a mystery that unfortunately we did not get to explore very much this season. So something else that could have played off better if we knew Jacob more as a human being beyond just like he's the nice normal guy of the season. So yeah, interesting that 20% came out last night, although her 80% also was very on display.
Well, let's stick to the 20% right now. And now, what was the problem here? Was Jacob not into Heather? Like, I felt like, you know, Jacob was in confessional and he was like, yeah, you know, I know that Heather has a thing for me. And he's like, and we're good friends. I felt like he was sounding a lot like, but I don't like her that way.
Yeah, I think that's true. He, you know, he said that it's clear that Heather kind of has a thing for me. And he didn't really say that back. I think what he said was like, she's cool and I like hanging out with her. So I don't know if Jacob has a girlfriend in real life. So when they were filming this and was not interested in getting tangled up in this, or maybe they're very nerdy people and that kind of interaction is awkward for them.
Well, let me say something to Jacob. Jacob, you were the first person kicked off this season. Here's Heather, who was in the Secret Six. She is considering maybe getting with you. This is almost a violation of the undateable before the merge rules, where you are not only an early boot, but the first boot with that stigma associated with that on a reality show. And somebody who was a notable contestant wants to get with you and you need to consider it. What is wrong with you, man?
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. I mean, Jacob should be considering himself lucky that I think one of the stars of the season is taking a romantic interest in him and in a gender that she generally does not take a romantic interest in. I think that this should not have been maybe as tough a decision for him as it seemed to be.
Jacob blew it.
I also just want to point out that Jonathan didn't exactly do a great job trying to connect these two together.
Did he do a better job connecting them or connecting four?
Definitely connecting
four.
He's better at connect four than connect two.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. No,
who had
no
first mover advantage? Heather?
I think Heather did.
Yeah. Okay. Well, ultimately, it is all for naught because then we end up seeing Heather in bed with. Now, I want to make sure I have this right. I thought at first it was Amanda, but I believe it ended up being Rochelle that she was in bed with.
It was Rochelle.
Man, or woman.
Yeah, was it Rochelle who said that she was 70-30?
70-30.
That was Rochelle.
Yeah. So that was her 30% side, maybe.
I need Ben to solve these fractions.
Yeah, this is all confusing to keep up. Everybody's got their individual percentage, and it's hard sometimes to keep them in line, but yeah.
Yeah, oh my God. So what a night at the King of the Nerds house.
You got to admit, yeah, on no other reality show, when you give them alcohol, I'm like not even really in the Big Brother house, apart from the season that is like deliberately known as the orgy season. Do you tend to get
Orgy Island?
Yes, on Orgy Island. Do you get this kind of sexual frivolity on a reality show?
Yes. Well, it just goes to show you that there is no better aphrodisiac than Little Caesars.
Oh, for sure.
Yes. Please give us free Little Caesars. We would like our gold passes now, please.
It's hot and ready, and you will be too. Little Caesars. Yes. Let's move on to our final battle. And this was pretty much as exciting as it can get. It was the old, in the 7-game series of one team wins the first two, then the other person wins the next three, and the other person wins the next two. Shades of the 2001 World Series between the Yankees and the Diamondbacks. In your native Arizona, Mark.
Yep.
Yes. That's really the most exciting way I think a 7-game series could go.
Yeah, I know. I definitely like that this went to 7 games because I didn't want this to sort of get kind of cut off at the knee before we really got things started. So I'm well on record, and I know a lot of people are as well, of really not liking the finale format from either of the previous two seasons. This was certainly better. It was not maybe amazing, but they definitely got as much as they could out of it by going to all 7 games.
Now, I really like the finale. Whereas I felt like last season I was unsatisfied, I feel like this was a very interesting and compelling finale.
Yeah, last season with the Lazy Susans of Death was not entertaining. We couldn't really play along with anything. And the way they used the supporters last season with that final task, where basically they had like 2 minutes to run over, they could kind of whisper about what it is they were doing, was, I think they botched that as well. This is a much better way in this finale to use the people who pledged their allegiance to the finalists as well. So definitely the best finale they've ever done, even if that's a low bar.
Okay. Let's go ahead and talk through the 7 rounds of the game. And let's start with round 1, which was speed chess, which Jonathan made short work of Ben. Was that surprising to you, Mark?
Oh, that was very surprising. I honestly thought this was going to be something that both players were going to do rather well in. But it, from what it seemed like, we could have had like an edit here. But it seemed like he got him in a checkmate in like, what, like 4 or 5 moves at best?
It looked like he had like 3.5 minutes left on the clock.
Yeah, I was going to say, it looked like there was a lot of time left on the clock. And I definitely agree that I thought both of them would do well at this. And I thought both of them would have had their clocks run out, and they would have had to look at the board and sort of break the tie that way. So, and yet, no, Jonathan really made short work of this and thought he had him in check and really had him in checkmate. So,
okay. Now, round 2 was Tekken 2. Do I have that right, Mark?
Tekken Tag Tournament 2.
I would have to say, for me, I feel like this was the least compelling of the 7 rounds, because it was very hard for me to follow who was beating up who in Tekken.
Rob, yeah, this is my favorite fighting game. That hurts me.
Okay.
I agree with you, Rob, because when we have to watch something on a screen beyond our own screen, I think it is hard to, we didn't really get it. Like, they were trying to at the bottom kind of point out like, these are Jonathan's characters, these are Ben's characters. But yeah, just trying to follow along with what was happening on the arcade screen was a little crazy.
Yeah, I found it doubly confusing because it was not just Tekken, but it was also Tekken Tag Team. So they had 2 characters each, and that was very confusing. Like, had it been like a Mortal Kombat, I know we had the Scorpion reference and, of course, Todd Toasty.
Yeah.
Which I still don't even get why they say that in Mortal Kombat. Do you guys know?
My parents didn't let me play Mortal Kombat as a kid, so of course I played it whenever I could.
Yes. Mark, you're the expert.
We could do an entire gaming podcast, Rob, but this isn't exactly the right place for it.
All right, fair enough. Okay, so... like they say, okay, you're Sub-Zero and you're Scorpion, and then I would know who I was rooting for or but I could not for the life of me figure out what was going on during the video game.
The thing is, with this specific game, it's the latest in the series, so and I do agree it was very hard to follow along. If it was the regular series, if it wasn't Tag Tournament, it would have been like something where you would have been able to follow along. It's just 1v1. The specific part about this game that kind of makes it confusing is the fact that you could have a 1v1, but you could also tag in to do moves. So it's kind of, it really is something, as a person who's really into this game, it's really hard to follow along at home. So, you know, I'm with you.
Jacob referenced Super Smash Brothers, and I think that would have been cool if, you know, we had Kenny Wan roll out the Super Smash Brothers on the Nintendo GameCube, and we could have, you know, done like a 5-stock battle. And, you know, it's 1 character each. It's very easy to follow along. We know names there. It's, you know, I think that would have been much better.
I think that would have been good. Everyone good. All right. Round 3 was the crossword puzzle. Now, Jonathan's up 2-0 at this point, and it's looking pretty good for Jonathan. But now Ben starts to mount his comeback, and he does it in the crossword puzzle. And we see that Ben is much more methodical. They have a similar strategy in all these things, and Jonathan is much more frantic.
Yeah, it ended up being 14 words for Ben to, I think, 10 for Jonathan. Yep. And we saw the interesting strategy that he decided, well, if I fill in all my blank letters with E, and that's like the most common letter, then maybe if it comes down to letters, I'll end up winning. I don't really know if that strategy would have panned out. I think it's like, as an idea, it's kind of like makes things like, oh, that's kind of clever. But if it had to come down to that, I don't know if that would have been extremely viable for him.
Yeah, I mean, there's like a very small chance that it would have come down to that.
Yeah, that's the thing, too, is the fact that for it to even have to come to that would have been difficult. And then, you know, the odds that all of his E's would have pushed him over the edge, that would have been, I mean, that would have been crazy.
Yeah, give him points for trying. He was stumped. He had nothing left to do.
Yeah, definitely.
That's
definitely
your King of the Nerds you're talking about, Brendan.
Oh, it is.
King of the Nerds.
Dr. King of the Nerds. I bow respect to Dr. King of the Nerds, and I get a prescription from him as well. I mean, the fact that he... just sort of sat on the floor and had to kind of like take a few seconds, just think like, what is my strategy here? I mean, yeah, it was a clever idea.
All right. Number four, again, maybe also not super compelling, the pocket protector logic puzzle. Brendan, did this work for you as a round of the final battle?
No, it didn't, because this is just something that it takes several minutes to figure out, and there's just no time to show that to us on TV. So, you know, these games are always more fun when you can either play along or follow along in a way that isn't just sort of the nerds and confessionals telling us what's happening. So we got like a quick sort of glances, like the camera sort of pans across the instructions, and that was kind of about it. And then I feel like they tried to kind of race through this, and that was probably the right move.
Yeah. And Ben ultimately wins this one. And then the fifth round was the Nerdquation, which again, probably wasn't going to be compelling TV, but it was interesting in that this was Jonathan's forte. It was a five-hole challenge for Jonathan.
Oh, there you go.
And it ends up being a reverse five-hole because Ben ends up stealing this from him because he's able to solve it like incredibly quickly.
Yeah, how embarrassing for Jonathan if it just had ended up rolling the other way and it would have been a 4-3 victory for Ben. I don't know if he ever would have lived this one down.
Right. If he lost on this, I think that would have been incredibly embarrassing.
Yeah, really rough. But this was a better sort of component than the pocket protector logic problem. Because again, it ended up being pretty simple math. It was just sort of addition and subtraction. But yeah, not thrilling, and we certainly have better games to talk about here.
All right, then we had the Connect Four game, which I thought ended up being somewhat interesting, and it came down to really about, I didn't know this, everybody seemed to know, first mover is the big deal in Connect Four.
You didn't know that?
I did not know.
I feel like I've heard that before, but I feel like I've heard about a lot of games. Like, I feel like the first mover, like tic-tac-toe, I think the first mover either has an advantage or disadvantage. With certain games like that, there is something to do with the order.
Yeah. Who knew? So Connect Four is a big deal, and Jonathan ends up with being the first mover, winning at Rock, Paper, Scissors. And then we had Ben playing defense the whole time and totally biffed it on a move where he set Jonathan up.
Yeah, he really did just completely miss that. And Jonathan immediately saw his chance. And yeah, I thought it was interesting that like we came off of these games where it was a lot of, you know, the logic problem and the equation puzzle. That was like some really kind of hardcore putting your intelligence to the test. And then they kind of moved into this, okay, this is just very simple kind of common sense stuff. The way they explained it to us with Caitlin, the confessionals, saying that like, this is a very easy game to get too caught up in playing either offensively or defensively, that you make a mistake. And that seems to be what happened to Ben.
Okay. Finally, we had our last one, which again, I didn't really think that this played great on TV. You know, I think that maybe the idea was that it was going to be forming a picture, and the picture was going to look good on TV. But the way that the guys were sort of scribbling in, I felt like it was hard to sort of figure out what the picture was supposed to be. Even they said it was a crown. Like, it is?
Yeah, I didn't really. I mean, even when they showed us like the kind of like, here's what it's supposed to look like, and it's like all the squares clearly blocked in, that didn't even look like a square. And it seemed like, yeah, they didn't really anticipate that they're going to be emphasizing speed here. So they're not going to be taking the time to like delicately color in the entire blocks as if they're taking like a Scantron test for their SAT. Like, they're just scribbling it in, trying to imply that like, yes, this is the square I'm indicating. So not a great challenge. And I think if they wanted to order this, like if they had a second shot at reordering these games, this is not the one I would pick last if it did come down to the final game.
What would you have last?
I think symbolically Speed Chess probably would have been a cooler one.
Yeah.
To checkmate. I think that's what I would have gone with.
Interesting. Yeah. Even though in the rundown of the seven tasks, you know, not too many of them turned out to be great, I still felt like it was really interesting how it came down to the wire. So I was very happy with Jonathan versus Ben, and I'm very happy with Jonathan as the winner. I would have been okay with Ben, but I feel like it was more Jonathan's season.
Yeah, I agree with that. I was kind of rooting for Ben just in the sense that I always am inclined to think like, wouldn't it be so cool if Ben, who had nobody on his side, a lot of people had written off, came back and won this. And especially, you know, beating Jonathan in his own games with things like the equation puzzle. But no, I think in the long run, Jonathan makes a lot more sense as a winner. And this is the first time that I went away from a finale and didn't think like, oh God, now I have to like rewatch the entire season and try and trace the path of like, okay, why does it make sense that this person won? Because I really didn't feel that in the second season and not so much in the first one either.
All right. Mark, what has been the fan reaction to Jonathan winning King of the Nerds season 3?
I'm going to try not to use some of the language that a lot of these commenters have been using, but it's not exactly been great. The second Caitlin left, there wasn't exactly a lot of rooting interest for the commenters or the viewers of the show. So it's not exactly been nice for Jonathan, but there have been support.
It was funny that after we were talking about like a couple weeks ago about how, oh, the Reddit community really does not like the Secret Six. That was before I'd gone to the subreddit and seen that they changed their name to the Caitlin Spack Fan Club. Yep. So, yeah, basically, once she was gone, I guess they were like, well, we got about 25 more minutes of show left and then the season will be over and we can stop thinking about this and that'll be good. So they were not fans of the Jonathan win.
If you honestly just go into like the Facebook page and just look at the threads of like, oh, Jonathan's our winner, and just start scrolling down, it's a bunch of Caitlin should have won. Team Colby, spelled K-O-L-B-Y, should have won. Colby should have won. So it's not exactly been nice, but it's... There has been support.
It's a loud minority.
A loud minority of people who were anti-Secret Six.
Yeah, welcome to the internet.
Yeah, so I'm on the Facebook page now, and I'm looking at the top comments. The top comment is by somebody who says, revive peace, hilarious considering who won, Team Colby, that has 44 likes. Then somebody else says, having loved season 1 and 2 and attended your panel at New York Comic Con in 2013 and 2014, all I have to say is what a disappointment this season was. The contestants this year were whiny, backstabbing bitches with a lack of skills. That has 36 likes.
Now, what I'll say is that I think I agree that this is probably my least favorite season of the show. And I do think this was probably a weaker cast. But I by no means... hate the show. I want to see the show back next season. You know, if you go onto the King of the Nerds Twitter, they have a really great inner circle poll. You can go online. You can give your feedback. Make sure you tell people at TBS that you want the show back next year. But I do kind of agree with the sentiment that this was probably an underwhelming season for me. Mark, I'm guessing by the noises you're making that you disagree.
Oh, yeah. Because here's the thing. You said, correct me if I'm wrong, you just said that you found this to be the weakest season?
In my opinion, I thought this was the weakest season.
See, the thing is with me, after watching season 2 very recently, I don't know if I could agree with that in the sense that we had Zach for season 2, and he was probably the greatest reality TV villain since Russell Hantz, to quote Rob. But at the same time, we had a lot of those people on season 2 very, very, very underdeveloped. And I felt like with this season, we developed a lot of these characters, and it was almost like a callback to season 1 in the sense that I felt a lot of like connections with the people that ended up leaving. In season 2, I honestly couldn't... A lot of those moments for a lot of the cast ended up being because of Zach. And I have to sometimes question, was that good or is that bad?
Certainly, Zach is a tide that lifts all boats, and that was a major factor in the entertainment value of the second season. I'm not sure, though, I totally agree that this was, on the whole, a cast that was as well-developed as the one in the first season. I thought there were a lot of characters we got to the end here and really were still kind of blanks in terms of strategy and personality. I mean, like Lily was somebody we talked about last week, we still don't really know who she is, and... it feels like she's kind of, it's not entirely the fault of the show because I don't know really what she's giving them to work with. Like, I think one of the things that kind of best summed up Lily was there was that scene at the beginning of the episode where somebody asked Lily, why do you deserve to be the queen of the nerds? And she was basically like, she was in a pageant. She was sort of like, I am accepting. I am passionate. I am creative. You know, it was almost like there's that Parks and Rec episode where April sort of enters the pageant, just sort of make fun of it all. And it's just like, I like people, places, and things. And just like, she didn't even seem to know why she was there entirely. And I just think that the cast from the previous seasons were overall stronger, even last season when, you know, nobody's going to hold a candle to Zach. I would like to see the show come back because I think that they can work to get a little bit of a better group of nerds for next year.
Yeah, I would have to say I agree probably more with Brendan that I think that overall the season two cast was stronger and more compelling. And I think that Zach was such a rocket ship. But even taking him out of the mix, you still had Jack, you still had Brian, Xander, you had Nicole, who was also a good TV. And you have people who are good TV because they're likable, but I wouldn't really say that you have too many people that are just like amazing characters other than just like people you'd want to, you know, hang out with, but not necessarily three-dimensional characters.
Right. The season lacked for dynamic personalities in the way that last season, like all those people you just named, did have dynamic personalities outside from
with
Zach.
Flaws, like yes. Flawed characters that you could say, OK, well, this person is like, you know, I can see what, you know, is, you know, Jack's flaw as a character, or Nicole and people like that. And you definitely had that with Caitlin to a degree. But I feel like overall, I feel like these people seemed fun, but not necessarily like, you know, iconic characters.
Yeah, if we do ever get fortunate enough to get to sort of like an all-star season of King of the Nerds, I feel like this might be like the Survivor Thailand, where we might get a one token person who will be the Xi'an representative of this season. And I don't expect the greatest number of returning nerds to come from this cast, unfortunately.
Who would that be for you? Just out of curiosity, who would that be for?
I think I might go Ori.
That's like the Rob with two B's of this Thailand cast.
You think so? I mean, I don't know. I just think that Ori was another character we got a little. I mean, well, who would you guys pick?
Heather or Amanda, probably.
I think Heather's a good pick too. I think it, for me, Heather is my second choice. But no, I'm a fan of Ori. I think that when it came to sort of quirky characters too, were something this season greatly missed in terms of something that was very prominent in the first and the second season. So no, Heather's a great character, but I feel like there are maybe Heather equivalents in seasons past and seasons to come. Ori is kind of his own unexplainable, unimitatable creature. So
I would cast for the all-stars. I would send Caitlin through.
Caitlin's a good pick for sure. Pick, because right? Caitlin is also somebody who there are not a lot of people like her. She, and you know, cause like Ben was saying, she kind of tried to underplay her nerd credit in this season. And I think it would be interesting to see how she was targeted going forward.
Okay. Rob, are you just playing to the subreddit right now?
What's that? No.
Are you just playing to the subreddit?
I am a populist. Yes.
Yeah.
No, but she was very good. All right. So let's go ahead and see if we can come up with a hashtag for season three of our King of the Nerds podcast. What do you think, Brendan?
Can we do hashtag toasty?
Toasty. No, Mark says there's not enough time to explain it.
Oh, yeah. Or we could do, I mean, I know you don't like numbers, so we'd have to kind of spell it out, but we could do hashtag 72,000 in honor of the winnings for Dr. King of the Nerds, Jonathan.
72,000?
Yeah, do you remember that from the episode? That was the amount of the winnings after taxes, as was relayed to Caitlin from a producer.
Oh, wow. Boy, he's like a real Jeff Kent.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's go ahead and let's go with Toasty because that is very confusing to have the numbers in there.
And if you want me to explain Toasty, just hit me up on Twitter.
Okay.
Yes.
But if you can't explain it in the podcast, how are you going to do it in 140 characters?
I have multiple tweets.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. All right. Well, fantastic job this season, guys.
Thank you so much for having us on. It's been a lot of fun talking about this. This still, even after an underwhelming season, like I said, this is still one of my favorite reality shows on TV. And I really, really hope it gets renewed for another season. So you should all go take that survey. It's on the @KingOfNerdsTBS Twitter account. Let them know that you like the season. Or even if you didn't like the season, just let them know that you want it back next year because life is much better when King of the Nerds is in it.
All right. And Mark, what are the prospects for season four of King of the Nerds?
Well, Brenda could actually talk about the ratings more, but I honestly think since this is Friday nights, the ratings should say that there should be another season.
Okay. Yeah, I said this on Twitter earlier in the week that if this was still a Thursday show, I think it would be dead. And now that it's a Friday show and the ratings really held up from what the show was doing last year on Thursdays, I don't see any reason that TBS shouldn't bring the show back, because it is a show that in some ways is critically acclaimed and it has its fans, even if they're not entirely happy with who won this season. I think that if you ask those people, I think they probably have a sentiment similar to mine, which is even if they didn't love this season, I think they want to see them try again next year.
All right. King of the Nerds season four. We will let you guys know if we hear anything about the renewal. In the meantime, that's going to do it for our King of the Nerds podcast for this season. Anyway, great job, Mark Solera. You can follow Mark on Twitter at Dawn's Bread. You can follow Brendan on Twitter. He's at Brendan D. Noel. And fantastic job, guys.
Thanks so much again.
It's been fun, Rob.
And we'll be back with much, much more. It's a 2-hour Survivor event this week. We are going to then have a double exit interview. And plus, we'll have our big recap podcast with Dale and Kelly Wentworth. And we will start to get ready for Big Brother Canada 3. Are you ready, Brendan?
Ready. My TV is tuned to Global Slice, whatever channel that the show will be airing on this year.
You have your Twistos?
I have my Twistos ready. As always, Twistos are always in the house. I live in Canada, Rob, please.
Of course.
Yes. Okay. All right. Would you rather have Twistos or Little Caesars for the premiere?
I'm red and white blooded to the end. Twistos for me. Twistos.
My heart hurts right now.
Okay. All right, everybody. Have a good one. Take care. Bye. Now that the show's over, don't forget to go to naturebox.com. Sign up to get your free sampler box of great-tasting, wholesome snacks. Forget the vending machine and start snacking smarter with delicious treats like barbecue kettle kernels. Go to naturebox.com/RJP. That's naturebox.com/RHAP.